Well, good morning, everybody. Did you enjoy the worship? Come, let's give the Lord a big hand, please. How many of you know that the Lions won last night? Oh, come on. Well, if you didn't hear, they won last night. Amen? Well, bless God. For the Sharks supporters, sorry. They didn't go nowhere. For the Stormers supporters, sorry. They didn't go nowhere. For the Lions supporters, they got there. Amen. Say again? Even if you don't like them, yeah, yes, of course, we have to support them, man. We have to support them. Well, bless God. Okay. I'm actually busy with a series on the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is a person, right? We already said that. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not some impersonal force. He's not some weird energy. The Holy Spirit is a person. And as a person, He interacts with us in our life. And if you really understand how these things work, you will also understand that without the Holy Spirit, you actually can't do nothing. We are all supernatural beings. And I know a lot of people have this weird thing about the supernatural. It's like, oh, it sounds like ghosts and spirits and spooker and chokas and all sorts of stuff. But the fact of the matter is you are made up of body and soul and spirit. You have a spirit. And when God works in our life, He works in a supernatural way because God works in the spirit realm. Amen? When somebody gets healed when we pray for them, the healing first touches the spirit and then it filters through and it manifests in the natural. If we were not capable of experiencing these spiritual things, God could not heal us. God could not change us. How many of you believe that you are saved? For those at the back there that's not raising their hands, I want to see you for prayer. Oh, there we go. There we go. Now, what part of you is saved? Okay. Ultimately, everything is saved, but what gets saved is my soul and my spirit. The part of us that we can't see. What's going to go to heaven one day? Well, I want to give you some good news. The body that you see in the mirror that you don't like right now, that's not going with you, okay? You're going to leave that down here. It's going to decay because you don't need it anymore. You know, what chocolate do you like? Any. That's short and sweet. You like a Tex, you like a Rolo, you like a lunch bar. A Kit Kat, a Chomp. Yes. Now, you know the nice thing about a chocolate? It does taste very nice. And it comes in a wrapper. And that wrapper is necessary for only one thing, to keep it fresh until you chomp it down. Then you don't need it anymore. You take it, you throw it away because it serves its purpose. Our bodies are the same. It's serving its purpose right here, right now. But one day, it will not be necessary anymore. We will put it down, and we will continue to live our life in the Spirit. Now, I got a bit sidetracked. All I'm trying to say to you is this. You have a Spirit. God communicates with us. God works with us. God deals with us as spiritual beings. Even though some of us, we are a little bit dwarf when it comes to spiritual stuff, it's time for us to learn. Because that's where the power of God is made manifest, in the spirit world. Amen? When somebody's life is about to change, there's a lot of activity going on around that person in the supernatural or spirit world. How many of you have experienced in some of these meetings demons coming out of you? Okay, you should jump up and run around the corner, run around the building, right? Some of you, yes, because you've been delivered from a lot of supernatural things. But where did they come out of? Can you show me a spot, yeah, or a spot there, and say, or it was stuck there, it came out? You know, many years ago, I prayed for a woman that was a bride of Satan. She was involved in some really, really bad, heavy-duty, rubbish, nonsense. And she opened herself up to a lot of really evil stuff. And when I used to pray for her to get delivered, she used to always complain about something. She felt something moving inside of her, like something holding on. And you know what? What must I say? Okay, fine. You feel it. You feel it. We still have to pray. So we pray. And More than once, she told me it feels like a frog inside of her. Now, how you know that there's a frog inside of you, or how you know what a frog inside of you feels like, only God knows, because I don't know. But this was what she said. And I'll never forget the one day I'm busy praying for this woman, and you know what? It took a long time to get some of the demons out, because they are quite powerful. Because these people do sell their souls to the devil, you know what? You can't dance with the devil and expect him to not do something about it. But this specific day, she convulsed a lot. And actually, I actually thought she was going to choke. Do you know what came out of her? A frog, but not just any frog, a big frog, a fat frog, a live frog. And I'll never forget, she was vomiting in this bucket, and I heard this dunk. I thought, geez, like. So I went and I looked down into the bucket, and because she drank blood many times, a lot of the times this old blood was coming out of her. Now, firstly, where does that old blood get stored? Because if it truly goes into your digestive system, you will pass it out. It will not stay, but it does not pass out. It stays inside. And when I saw this black round, I thought it was just a lot of old blood, because, you know, between all the other rubbish lying there in the bucket, that's what it looked like to me. Yeah. And then the blood jumped. Dang. And I jumped a lot higher than the frog. I was like, what? Now, tell me something. Is that possible? Well, you can't tell me it's impossible, because I saw it with my own two eyes, and I'm not lying to you. I saw it. I actually have photos of the frog. But how is that possible? Can you explain it? Can a frog live inside of the stomach or the digestive tract of a person? No. I have seen people vomit spiders, live spiders. Tell me, where do they live? How do they survive inside of that individual? You can't explain it. Why not? Because it's spiritual things. And even though it's spiritual things, it affects people in the natural. For some people, it made them sick. For some people, it made them crazy, cuckoos, loony. For some people, it just affected everything they touched went bad. Supernatural things are real. We are supernatural beings. We are spiritual beings. And a lot of the things that we experience in the natural actually manifests from the spirit world. Like the demon that we cast out of a person. Where does it live inside of you? It doesn't take up space. You can go for a CT scan. They will not be able to point to some demonic-looking figure sitting there between your spleen and your heart or whatever. You can't see them, but they are real. They can make you sick. They can make you crazy. They can make you depressed. They can make you angry. They can give you fear. They can keep you awake at night. They can do a lot of things. They can turn family members against one another. They can bring division and separation. They can do a lot of things. They can give people doubt. You know, one of the busiest demons in the Christian community must be the demon of doubt. Because there are so many Christians that see the promises of God in His Word, but they can never accept that that's the way it is. It's like, yeah, but it's not like that. Okay, but that won't work for me. Why not? It says so in the Word. Okay. Getting back to the Holy Spirit. If devils are real and demons are real and curses are real and witchcraft is real and sorcery is real, we have to understand that the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is also real. There is the kingdom of God and there is the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And they are not the same thing. And the Holy Spirit was given as a gift to us by God for us to be able to deal with supernatural and spiritual things that come into our life. And therefore, we must know this person, because you see, you cannot without the Holy Spirit live a victorious life. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot conquer the supernatural things that have entered into your life, like demons or curses or whatever. And please don't come and tell me, oh, you know what, Rion, but I'm a Christian. These demons can't come near me. You do not understand the Bible. Satan does not work against unbelievers. He works only against believers. He does not need to have power over an unbeliever. He controls their life. He owns them. He wants power over you. And it's when we open doors for these things and we allow these things to come into our life that they begin to affect us and they put us in bondage. You know what the word bondage means? It's like it chains you in certain areas. You can have people that can have happiness in a lot of areas, but in one specific area of their life, they have no happiness. They only have sorrow and pain and hurt. What's the problem there? Sometimes there's a thorn. The thorn can be a demon that affects you in that area. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand. Now, let's look at some teachings on what God's Word tells us about the Holy Spirit. This reminds me of when there was these guys, seven guys, called the seven sons of Sceva. And they had heard that Paul had been casting out demons, and the disciples had been casting out demons, and they thought to themselves, now there's a novel idea, why don't we try that? And they did. And they went and found one of the most demonically possessed people that they could get their hands on. They put him down on a chair, I'm just thinking, and they attempted to cast these demons out of him. And the demon looked at them, and the demon said to them, they actually said to the demon, we command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. And the demon began to laugh. Do you know why the demon laughed? Because they did not even know Jesus. They'd heard of Jesus through the preaching of Paul, but they never met the man. And the demon answered them and he said to them, hey, Jesus I know. Even Paul I know. But you? Who are you? The demon was saying to them, you have no authority over me. You have no power over me, yet you want to come and challenge me? If it's a fight you want, it's a fight you're going to get. In the end, they ran naked and bleeding down the streets. Now, the demon said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. Now I want to ask you something. Do you know Jesus? Do you know the Holy Spirit? Because if you don't, that's where the problem lies. The people that tried to cast the demon out did not know Jesus, did not know the Holy Spirit, did not know God. They went on what somebody else says. You can't be, oh, okay, I know there is a Holy Spirit. You mustn't know of the Holy Spirit. You must know the Holy Spirit. He must be part of your life. Because when he's part of your life, then his power begins to manifest in your life. Amen? Okay, let's look at this. A couple of weeks ago when we did this teaching, I'm just going to read it again. It comes from the book of Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and to release from darkness to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, and they will display his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore places long devastated. Isaiah 61, from verse 1 and onwards. And Jesus himself quoted this scripture in one of the synagogues where he preached. And then we said that there's a couple of things that we can take from that, and I'm just quickly going to recap. According to what Jesus said about himself and about the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon his life and the purpose of the anointing, the presence of the Holy Spirit upon his life, the first is it causes him to preach good news. Have you listened to people? I mean, really listen to people. And have you listened to what comes out of their mouth? Have you listened to what comes out of your mouth? Is it good news? Or is it bad news? You see, I don't know. Then you have to just judge yourself a little bit and see what comes out. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon our life, He changes something inside of us and we have good news to bring. Even though there's bad news out there, that's not what we are focused on. We begin to focus on the good news. Won't your life be a lot better if you focused on the good and not on the bad? You know, there's that old adage that says some people see the glass half empty and some people see the glass half full. And then we laugh about these things, but there's some truth to that. Because where your focus is, is where your heart will be. If you are only looking at negative, 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 out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is full of negativity, if your heart is full of problems, if in your heart you cannot find solutions, if in your heart you are sad, then that's going to come out of your mouth. And let me tell you something, then people are going to stop wanting to be around you because people don't like to be around negative people. It tends to bring you down. Have you ever spent a bit of time with somebody that complains all the time, that has nothing good to say? Man, it drains you. It's like if you were the Duracell bunny, when you meet them, you like, while they're talking, it's like, you know, it's just taking all your energy, it's taking all your power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon your life and when you are filled with the Spirit of God, it changes the way you look at life. It changes the way you see yourself. It changes the way you see your circumstances and your situations. And wow, wait for it. You actually get a smile on your face every now and then. You get happy and excited about life. Things don't get you down as quickly. Then it says, He caused him to bind up and heal the brokenhearted. When the Holy Spirit comes upon our lives, He does two things. First, He brings healing to us. Because through the Spirit of God, God heals. Raise your hands if you do not need some kind of healing. And I'm not just talking about your foot or your ankle or your finger or, you know, some part of your body. Healing goes further than that. Some people need healing in their body. Some people need healing in their mind. Listen, yeah, if your mind is chronically negative and full of nonsense and prone to depression and all that, you need to be healed. You need healing for that. Some people need healing in their emotions. They're just sad all the time and they don't really know exactly why, because of hurt that they are carrying from way back when. Maybe by now you figured out that the words of people hurt a lot more than what people do to you. How many of you are still walking around with big anger inside of you because of the way you were treated when you were this small? Let me see. Oh, then I'm so glad you came to church today. Because we can probably deal with that. I think it's Taylor Swift that sings a song. She says, Band-Aids don't fix bullet holes. Well, here's the thing. I almost called it your Viagra. But let's change that and say your Valium will not fix the bullet wounds that the enemy gave you through the words of people. The Holy Spirit will do that. Because the Band-Aid, the Valium, the Prozac, whatever else you might be, Zoloft, whatever else is there, Jack Daniels, Captain Morgan, Old Spice, Southern Comfort. It's not Richelieu in Springs, it's called Rukeloos. Yeah. Rukeloos, yeah. But in any case, you know what? None of that stuff can fix you because it can't get to the root of the problem. Where's the root of the problem? Somebody help me. It's in the heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your mouth is chronically negative, then your heart has become negative. Then you got a problem in there. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. How do you know whether you have a healthy heart or not? It's got nothing to do with putting probes on yourself and running for an hour on a treadmill. It's got to do with what comes out of your mouth. It's a very, very good indicator of what is inside of you. And if there's a problem there, well, there's only one person that can help you. The Holy Spirit is the one that can and will help you. Then he says, the purpose of the anointing was to set the captives free. In other words, when people are in bondage, when people are suffering because of demonic activity in their life, like you are in bondage to fear, you are in bondage to anger, you are in bondage to lust or some kind of a perversion, how do you deal with that? Again, can you say to me, Rian, this pill, if you take this magic pill, you go to sleep, you wake up, it's gone? You can take as many pills as you want. That problem will not disappear because, once again, it's in the heart. And only the Holy Spirit can help us to set the captive free. Do you have to be a slave to a certain behavioral problem? Do you have to be a slave to certain emotions like anger and violence and hatred and bitterness? No, you do not. You know, we sing that song, No Longer Slaves. Do you have to be a slave to depression? Do you have to be a slave to anxiety? Do you have to be a slave to panic attacks? Do you have to be a slave to insomnia? No, you don't. Why not? Because of the anointing, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you must first understand the Holy Spirit. You must first know the Holy Spirit. You mustn't be like those men that try to cast out the demons saying, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. No, you've got to know the Holy Spirit. He must be part of your life. To comfort those who mourn. How many people out there are mourning? Mourning the death of a loved one. Let's talk about that. You're mourning. How long do we mourn? Can you mourn indefinitely? No. You see, there's nothing biblical that says we shouldn't mourn. In fact, we should mourn because it gets the hurt and the pain out. But if we don't allow it to go, it'll poison us on the inside. We need comfort. Who can comfort us? You know what? Even if your husband loves you very, very much, he cannot get his fingers deep into your heart where the problem lies and take it out. But the Holy Spirit can. And the Holy Spirit will. And only the Holy Spirit can help us. We need to be comforted. And that grief that wants to envelop our entire life has to go. I preached in a church, I can't even remember, must be 10 years ago. And an old lady came walking up. Took her a long time to get to the front. She was quite old and fragile. She was somewhere in her 80s. In fact, somebody came and helped her towards the front. It was quite a big church. She came from way back there. And when she got to the front, I asked her, what can I help her with? And she told me that her husband had passed away 10 years ago. But ever since her husband passed away, she's had no life because she cannot let go. Every day she cries for her husband. Her heart is sore. She's depressed. She doesn't have any hope. She doesn't have any life. Now, you know what? That's the golden, golden, golden years of her life, and she should have peace. But the devil used a tragedy to rob her of her peace. I looked at her and I said to her, ma'am, the Holy Spirit will help you with that. Because when His anointing comes upon you, He will give you the comfort that you need and you will stop your mourning. But you must also choose to let go. She told me that's fine. She will. We had a chair for her there because she was quite fragile. She sat on the chair. She prayed with me. I asked God to have mercy on this woman and to truly allow the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon her, to envelop her, and for this grief that has been stuck in her heart for such a long time to come out because it's poisoning her life. She was 80 years old. Boom! She fell right off the chair. Okay, nobody expected that. We made her comfortable, prayed for some other people. Couple of minutes later, the old lady gets up. The same woman, now listen to this very carefully, the same woman that took 10 minutes to walk from the back of the church to the front, walked normally. She had strength, she had power, she had energy, she had vitality, she had a smile on her face, and she was praising God. I wish you could be there to see the difference in this woman, because the Holy Spirit helped her and comforted her to get rid of the mourning, the grief that was inside of her. Let me tell you something. This woman was not as fragile as everybody thought. She was just weighed down by the weight of grief and sadness that the devil had forced upon her for 10 years. When she got up off that floor, she was like a completely new person. The people in the church were like, "What?" Because people had known her for years. She was different. Can I tell you why? She met the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helped her to change her life. Looking once again at some of the things that the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray. Romans 8 verse 26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express." Here's something that a lot of people can relate to. Your husband battles with the same thing. He was talking to me about it the other day. We can have a good relationship with people. We can talk about the rugby. We can talk about politics. We can talk about what's going on in Parliament. We can talk about what's happening at the school. We can talk about our children. And we have no problem doing that. But the moment we have to pray, it's like the spirit of deaf and dumb just comes upon us. Your mouth doesn't work anymore. Panic sets in. You start sweating. You get the shake, rattle, and rolls. Come, who can relate to that? The same people that you just spoke to now for the last hour, who listened to you, who accepted everything you say, when you need to come to a place that now you're going to pray for them or pray with them, it's like, you can't. Is that normal? For some people it is, but it's not. Because sometimes we lack the boldness, sometimes we lack the courage, and the devil doesn't want us to do that. You know what? When you're talking about the rugby, the demons don't give you a hard time. It's like, let them talk about the rugby. Keeps their minds off more important things. Okay, as far as the rugby goes, the Lions winning is actually quite important. Let me just state that once again. But anyway. But yeah, the chochos leave you alone. Yeah, let them talk about the rugby. Oh, and they're talking about Julius Malema and they're getting all upset and all frustrated. Oh, yeah, talk more. You know? What? They want to pray? No. You will not pray. You don't have the words. You are too afraid to pray. Something begins to work against us. Have you felt that? Where do we get the power to conquer that? The Holy Spirit does that. You know, in my life, you've probably heard my testimony, but I'm just going to put it out there again. I used to be like that. I could not pray in front of people. We used to have a roster when I was at Sunday school. Now, this is like my dark past coming out here. But there was like a type of a roster when I was in Sunday school. You're going to pray this day, you're going to pray that. You had to end off the Sunday school session. Guess what happened when it was Rion's turn to end off the session? I bunked. Yeah, I'm not saying I'm proud of it, but that was just it. Because you know what? I had so much fear that I have to now get up and pray in front of these other kids. And again, it was kids that I spoke to all the time. How stupid was that? But that's what I felt. I didn't have the boldness. I didn't have the strength, the courage, the conviction, the determination. And besides that, I hit the blank when I had to pray. The times when I was forced to pray, it was like, "Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day." and so forth and so forth. But I couldn't pray. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit comes to change, we suddenly develop a prayer life, and we suddenly have the boldness, the guts, the conviction, the determination to pray for other people. And it doesn't bother us. It's like that unseen thing that was always there stopping us from praying, it's just disappeared. It's amazing. When the Holy Spirit came upon my life, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in an Engier church in roughly 1995, somewhere around there. The power of God came upon me. I was on the floor for 3 to 4 hours, maybe 5 hours. It was a very long time. And God's power vibrated through my body. And when I got up off of that floor, I was never the same person again. And the number one place where I saw the change was the fact that I could now talk to people about God. I didn't feel self-conscious or like an idiot, and I could pray with people. In fact, I wanted to pray with people. Now that for me was a strange experience, because why would I feel that way? I felt that way because of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to the scripture again. In the same way, He helps us in our weakness. You see, people that can't pray with other people or pray for themselves or whatever, there is a weakness. Now, if you want to get rid of the weakness, you must counter it with something. Like if your muscles are weak, you've got to exercise them. So what do we do in a case like that when we don't have the boldness, we don't have the courage, we don't have the conviction to pray with others or to speak to them about God? What do? We go to the expert. Who's the expert? The Holy Spirit. Amen? And the Holy Spirit will help us. He will strengthen us in the areas where we are weak. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Like me when I was sitting there, what must I pray? Not everybody knows what to pray. Even the disciples. Now, this is interesting, but there was a day when the disciples, after they'd been with Jesus for quite a while, they said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Because they didn't know. And it's not the worst thing in the world not to know, but it's bad if you don't want to learn and if you don't want to change. So I have some good news for you here today. If you don't really know what to pray, or you don't really know how to pray, all of that can change. You just need to meet the expert. The expert's name is the Holy Spirit of God. He will give you the strength. He will give you the courage. He will give you the conviction. He will give you the determination. He will put some vuma in your villa. And you'll start praying for people. And you'll even begin to understand better what to pray for yourself. Because listen to what he says here. He says, "We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express." It is only the Spirit of the living God that knows what we should be praying in any given situation. Most people don't have a clue. I'll give you an example. There's a problem in your life. Could be between you and your wife. Could be with your kids at school. Could be a lot of things. There's some problem. Now, you know that this problem needs to be fixed, but you don't know exactly what to pray to fix it. Anybody been in that situation before? Or you've come to a crossroads. You've got to make a decision. You've got to either go right or you've got to go left, and you need to know what to do, what needs to happen. The Holy Spirit needs to begin to work in us. He needs to begin to work with us. Have you ever heard of speaking in tongues? I know for some people that's like a really strange and weird experience. They hear other people do it and they think like, wow, what's wrong with these people? In fact, if you feel that way, I don't think you should be feeling too bad, because when initially the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out upon people many, many years ago and they began to speak in tongues, the general consensus seems to have been these people are all drunk. They are all mad. No, it's not. There is something called the gift of speaking in tongues, which when it manifests is actually the Holy Spirit in you praying through you. Now the Bible says when a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not unto man but unto God, and neither can he understand it. Do you hear what I'm saying? If I begin to speak in tongues now, I'm not speaking to you, I'm not speaking to you, I'm not speaking to you, because the Apostle Paul says when we speak in an unknown tongue, we speak not to the men around us, we speak to God. Amen? But what are we speaking? Look at your neighbor and say, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Are there some mysteries in your life? Are there some mysteries in your life? What about your life? Oh, I just thought that you solved all the mysteries. Because the only way for you to have solved all the mysteries is you died, you went to heaven, and you heard the truth. So there's nobody here that has solved all the mysteries. Now, when we speak in an unknown tongue, when I begin to speak, I'm not speaking to you. But I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through me to God. Why? Because He knows exactly what's going on in my life, even though I don't. He knows what needs to happen tomorrow and the day after. I don't. We see as far as our nose is long. The Holy Spirit sees 50 years into the future. Sometimes we're in a place we don't know what to do. What have we got? Well, everybody can receive the ability to speak in an unknown tongue, speaking the mysteries of the kingdom of God back to God. There's a scripture that says, you have not because you ask not, and when you ask amiss. Which translated simply means, you don't have because you don't ask God correctly, and when you ask God, you ask Him in the wrong way. What if we begin to pray correctly all the time? Isn't that going to get us forward a lot quicker? Won't that change things a lot? Well, who do we need to get to that place? Well, you need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one speaking through you when you speak in tongues. Let me just clarify something. The devil can also speak in tongues. And unfortunately, there are some believers out there that when they speak in tongues, they're not speaking to God, but they're speaking to some chocho. I'm not trying to say this to confuse you. I think it's just important that we need to talk about stuff like that. I've cast out many demons of false tongues. A word of warning to the wise. If you want to receive the gift of speaking in tongues, you don't just walk up to people that you don't know and say to them, oh, please lay your hands upon me and pray for me to also receive what you've got. Do you know who they are? Do you know where they come from? Do you know what they're up to? Do you know what they have in their hearts? No, you don't. One of the first demons that I ever had to cast out in a church was the demon of false tongues. A woman came up and asked me to pray for her and her husband because they had lots of financial problems and things were just not going right and they believed that something must be wrong. You know, the way she was talking, it did sound very plausible that there could be some demonic activity in their life. I listened to all of this. I said, okay, fine, let's pray. I took hands with both the husband and the wife and I started to pray. And I asked God for the power of the Holy Spirit to come down and for the Lord to help us to solve this problem and this mystery that's going on in their life. And the next moment, this woman let out this ungodly scream. Boom, she was down on the floor. And I'll never forget what I saw that day, because this woman's face changed in front of me. She was a fairly young woman. She was probably in her middle 30s. She couldn't have been more than about 35, 36 years of age. Very attractive features. And her face began to contort, began to change. Do you know, everybody in the church that night saw this, and I think it probably haunts a couple of people until today. Do you know that her face changed into the face of a woman of about 70 to 80 years of age? Her skin began to change. It began to wrinkle. Her nose began to change. It got this bony, funny, you know, like a witch's crooked nose. Her eyes changed color. All her features took on the features of the demon that was inside of her. When I asked the demon who he was, he actually called himself, I am the witch of Endor, which is something from the Bible. I don't believe it is the witch of Endor. The demon just called himself that. But you know what? When the demon told me his name, I thought to myself, man, that looks exactly like the witch of Endor. I'm serious. You should have seen it. And you know, when I questioned the demon, now, When I speak about these things, sometimes it sounds like it happens like this, boom, it doesn't. Sometimes it's a process, because at first the demons, normally they don't want to give you their name. You got to fight with them a little bit. So I had to fight with this demon to get its name. And once I got its name, I actually asked it, how did you enter this woman? Do you want to know how he entered this woman? She went to a gospel crusade. Nothing wrong with going to a gospel crusade. Everybody should do it now and then. It's good. It's good to hear the word of God. It's good to receive the anointing and the power. But then afterwards, she had heard about speaking in tongues, but she couldn't speak in tongues. And she saw a man there that was praying for people. But I want to state that this man was not necessarily involved in the gospel crusade. He was not with the organization that ran it. It was just somebody there that was praying for people, and praying, people were falling down and things were happening and people were speaking in tongues. So this woman went and she said, please pray for me, I want to speak in tongues. Where did she make a mistake? Okay, the Bible says, lay hands on no man suddenly, which simply translated is kind of like, don't let people lay hands on you if you don't know who they are, because you don't know what is in their life. Come here quickly. I want to show something. I want to demonstrate it. The moment he allows me to lay hands on him, he is choosing to submit himself to the power working through me. Do you understand? That's where the problem lies. Because if he doesn't know that he knows that it is the Holy Spirit working through me, he could be submitting to the demon in me. Do you understand? So the moment he allows the laying on of hands, by his action, he has chosen to submit to the power at work through the individual praying for him. The moment he does that, he opens himself up to receive from whatever that power is. If it is the Holy Spirit, well, bless God, he's going to receive something good, because the Word of God says, when you ask God for a fish, he will not give you a snake. When you ask God for an egg, he will not give you a scorpion. When you ask him for bread, he will not give you a stone. He will give you what you ask for. But then it must be the Holy Spirit at work. What if it's not the Holy Spirit? What if it's the spirit of Jezebel controlling that person's life? You still going to get what you ask for? What if it's the spirit of Leviathan? What you going to get? You're going to get a lot of headaches. So the moment you submit, you will receive from whatever controls that person's life. And let me just say something. Thank you. You can sit down. Just because somebody is in the church, talks the talk, doesn't mean they walk the walk. Because there's a lot of demons that go to church. They love to go to church. Because it's at church where they want to steal. I'm going to say to you again, the devil doesn't want to steal from unbelievers. If he steals from unbelievers, they'll start asking too many questions. Why is this going wrong? Why is nothing working out for me? He wants Christians to ask that question, not unbelievers. You see, if you mess too much with an unbeliever, eventually they will try anything to sort their problem, and they might even go to church. Now, how many of you know the devil is not an evangelist, and he doesn't push people towards the church? He pushes them away from church. He wants you to sit in the church thinking, oh, I'm wasting my time because nothing ever gets better. My life is falling apart. Oh, this is not right. Her first mistake was, she went to a place where she did not know the people. She did not know the individual that was praying for people, and she submitted herself to what was working through him, and he was not a child of God. Do Satanists infiltrate meetings like that? Yes. Do religious spirits love places like that? Yes. Do false teachers go to places like that? Yes. If you submit to any of them, you submit not to the Spirit of God, but to a destructive spirit that wants to destroy your life. Satan came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Sometimes we are the ones that open our lives up to him and give him the power to destroy us. when this man touched her, she felt something like a fire come into her. But it was not a godly fire. It was a satanic fire. And she was knocked out. Her husband told me later that she was knocked out for about half an hour. And I'm not talking about just under the power of the Holy Spirit. She was gone. Suddenly, after half an hour, she sat up and she was like, wada, speaking. And she couldn't stop. This thing just kept coming and coming and coming. And everybody was like, oh, praise God, bless the Lord, because now she's speaking in tongues. No, she was not speaking in biblical tongues. She was speaking a demonic language, a satanic tongue. And every time this thing spoke through her, it was cursing her husband. It was cursing her children. It was cursing her church. It was cursing her job. Man, it's no wonder she had problems. Amen. So, by the grace of God, we cast out the demon. But before I could cast out the demon, I had to now speak to this woman about what happened. And the reason I had to speak to her, she has to renounce what she received. Now, some people, when a demon manifests through them, they don't know what the demon says. I don't know how, but they're in a different place. The demon is there. They don't hear. So the demon had to go and go down, and I called the woman back and I explained the situation to her, and I said to her, this is what happened. I need you to renounce what you received. Now that posed another problem, because to her, but what she received was good, it was real. And of course everybody standing around quickly helped her out. There was a demon talking through you. This is not the Holy Spirit. We heard the demon. We saw what happened to your face. And the woman said, oh, well, okay, fine. She prayed with me. She renounced what she received. She renounced the entity, the spirit, the demon, whatever, that she submitted to. And the demon left her. Do you know that the moment the demon left her, she could no longer speak in tongues? Now, that was a real reason to celebrate. Because now the devil could not use her to destroy her own life and the life of everybody around her every time she thought she was speaking to God. Amen? The Lord set her free and the Lord delivered her. Many, many, many times I have experienced the same thing, where people went to places where they allowed people that they do not know and they did not see the fruit of God in their life to lay hands on them and pray for them, and bad things transferred. If you learn just one thing today, you should learn two things. First, you need the Holy Spirit. Secondly, you should learn you never, never, never just let anybody put their hands on you and pray for you. Because you submit to what is working through them. And a lot of people's lives have gone down the pit because of who they allowed to pray for them. So how would we then know who to allow to pray for us? Well, it's simple. Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. And for you to see fruit in somebody's life, you have to have walked a bit of a road with them. You have to be familiar with them. You can see the power of God working through them. You can see the integrity of the Spirit of God in their life. So what I'm trying to say is, it is never a good thing to let somebody that you just met at the party that sounds like they know what they're talking about come and lay hands on you and pray for you, because you could pick up a lot of problems. Even if you go to some big crusade and there's somebody there and lots of things are happening when that oak is praying, who says it's God? Do you know? Have you had time to see the fruit? No, you haven't. Then rather, err on the side of caution and stay away. Amen? Amen. One Corinthians chapter 14 verse 15 says, what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. How do I pray with my spirit? When I allow the language of the Holy Spirit that was placed inside of me to come out, I'm beginning to pray with my spirit. And he says, yeah, we should do both. There are things that I need to talk to God about, then fine, talk to God about it. Talk to God about your life. Talk to Him about your hopes and your fears and the plans that you have for your future. But also understand that you only see a tiny bit of the bigger picture. And then you begin to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to God through you, because He's got your best interests at heart. And that's the way to pray. In the natural, but also in the Spirit. And you can only pray in the Spirit when you have received the Spirit of God. You cannot pray in the Spirit if you've never received the Spirit of God. Now, the next question, the next logical question that most people ask when we talk about these things is, can I receive the ability to speak in tongues? What would be your answer? Everyone can receive it. It's for everybody. In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Everybody can receive the Spirit of God. When they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the one thing that stood out to just about everybody was the fact that they spoke in unknown languages. They spoke in tongues. They spoke things that they were not taught. Amen? Do you receive just one language? Okay, today's teaching is not really about tongues, but I'm just going to throw a couple of things out there because maybe you need to hear them. Do we receive just one tongue? It's called the gift of speaking in tongues. When you put an S behind it, what does it mean? It means plural. It means you can have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 languages. Me, I don't even know how many I have. I've got plenty. And they seem to be different for different situations. And it's not like I control it. When I begin to speak, now it's one, then it's another one, then it's another one, then it's another one. Well, God knows what He's doing. He's in charge. Amen? So you don't have to receive just one and be happy with just one. You know, when there's an opportunity for the anointing and the power of God to come and touch you, the more you can receive, the more you should receive, because you don't know what was just deposited inside of you today. You might not see it today or tomorrow, but the first time that they prayed for me to receive tongues, I received two words. I still remember the words, hishkia, fishkia, which doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Well, it wasn't supposed to make sense to me. It made sense to God and the Holy Spirit at the time. But you know, in the week, suddenly something inside of me, it was like a switch flipped. And I tell you what, these words just began to come out. It sounded like a machine gun. It came out so quick. It was like there was such a big pressure inside of me that had to be released. It was just came out. And over time it developed and it developed and it developed. And well, that's the way it is. So, what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. In other words, there needs to come a time when I allow the Holy Spirit to come and pray through me, because He sees what's going on. He knows the future. He knows what the devil is up to. And He can counter that by the way that I speak, by what I allow to happen through me. Can everybody receive it? Everybody can receive it. Do you have to be a pastor? No, you don't have to be a pastor. Do you have to be a cell group leader? No, you don't have to be. Do you have to have some huge calling on your life? No. If you want to receive it, you can receive it. Amen? I'll tell you what we will do. Probably next week, I will actually speak to you a bit more on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You heard we're going to be praying for tongues. He doesn't want to miss out. He's like, here I am, yay. Anyway. Next week, I think that's what I'll do. I'll speak on that, and I'll give you a nice, decent teaching about that, and hopefully answer all your questions. The next thing that the Holy Spirit does, Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. In other words, the Holy Spirit, when He dwells inside of us, He gives us a confirmation that we truly are children of God. And it's very important. The Holy Spirit confirms in your heart, the center of your being, that you truly are a child of God, in contrast with somebody who believes with their mind. Now, Have you noticed something about the mind? Can I ask you a question? Why doesn't Jesus live in your mind? Because your mind is like the wind. Today you believe this, tomorrow you believe that. If Henny comes to me and he says this and he's quite convinced, I was like, well, yeah. Then Alberto comes to me and he tells me a different thing. It's like, yeah. Then when they both gone, I'm thinking, oh, but who's right? Oh, yeah, no, I'm confused. I don't know. Your mind is unstable, and I'm not cursing you. It's fact. Today the mind is here, tomorrow the mind is there, then the mind is there. The mind cannot always be trusted, but the heart is solid. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can come and speak in your heart and put that stamp, the seal in your heart that you are a child of God. That's why people that try and understand the gospel with their mind and make a decision with their mind to accept Jesus, they fall by the wayside very quickly. When the Holy Spirit is not involved in that decision, nothing happens in the heart. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Where must the change come? In your heart. Some people make some decision based on logical thinking. Doesn't last. The decision must be made in your heart. Then you will see the change. I think I've probably spoke long enough. How long have we been going? Oh, it's fine. Next week, I'm actually going to speak a lot more on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to some extent speaking in tongues. And I'm sure that there's some people that would like us to pray for them for that. And we're going to get to that. Did anybody learn something today? Please give the Lord a big hand. You providing the bass today. Doof, 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 doof.